Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Somos Mas, the official podcast of Somos Mas NM and your source for the latest news and notes on New Mexico United and the New Mexico Runners. My name, of course, is Seth Bidoff. Joining me this evening, the one and only Jacob Terrell. Earl is trying to fix some technical difficulties, which is a shame because Earl is missing out on the granddaddy of them all after New Mexico United pulled up into Phoenix and picked up a win, walked away with 3 points on a very blustery evening out there. Jacob, first of all, how are you doing? I know it's been an interesting week with all the weather here in New Mexico. Did you guys get snowed in? Are you guys okay? Like, how's the family?
We're great. We had rain. It's nice having rain. It's been colder for this time of year, but but no, weather hasn't been bad at all.
I mean, that's good to hear. Here in town, we experienced the gamut of weather this week. It went from 75 on Saturday to snowing yesterday, and it's back up in the 60s today. So I'm fairly certain I'm going to come down with a head cold before the weekend. So if that is the case, that, you know, that's just the way it is here in New Mexico. But it's certainly been a weekend. A lot of interesting results from around the league. Open Cup is back in action tonight. And I mean, I don't know, where do you want to start with this one, Jacob? There's a lot of things to talk about here. I mean, first of all, you look at New Mexico United on Saturday, and they looked like a completely different team from what we saw against Charleston Battery 2 weeks ago. I mean, we talked about it last week. We talked about if Kalen is out or even if he comes back, do we switch back to a four at the back system? We saw a four at the back on Saturday. We saw Alex Tambakis back between the sticks. We saw a lot of things happening and happened well for New Mexico on Saturday night. I mean, tell us, how did we get here from where we were 2 weeks ago at Charleston?
Well, so one thing that has come out since – oh, Earl's ready. Okay. Speak, Earl, speak.
Is that better?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you guys.
Okay. You might be a little loud now, but at least I can hear you.
Okay. Hold on. Let me figure this out.
Okay. You do that. Keep going. I will answer the question. One thing that has come out since we podcasted on Tuesday was that there was a sickness that kind of ran through the locker room the week before last. So leading up to the Charleston match. And I went back after I had found that out and watched a little bit more of that Charleston match, and you can kind of see it. You could see like that, what I didn't know what to chalk it up to when we were watching it live, but knowing that now in hindsight, it makes way more sense. And obviously you still would have liked a little bit better showing, but it's kind of like, okay, I kind of chalked that up. And then you look at Rhode Island, you can kind of chalk that up to first team, first match, blah, blah, blah. And so really the two – hi, Jane. Really the two matches that we've been healthy and not had to travel cross-country, we've looked really, really good. Come in against Phoenix and look like we did against Pittsburgh. We might not have had the – like 30 minutes of utter domination like we did against Pittsburgh, but we controlled that match from beginning to end. I mean, they had one shot on target the whole night and only 6 shots total. Like, and that's an offensive team that you think, when you think of Phoenix, you think of having a good offense, and they just were completely contained all night on Saturday night. And obviously, Ryden wasn't there, but we did get Tambakis back. And then we saw another change that I think really helped, and that was Will Seymour coming off the bench and the 6'4" Anthony Herbert taking the place of him and starting next to Talon Maples. And that seemed to make a huge difference. I mean, Maples won like 100% of his aerial duels and like 7 out of 8. Regular duel. I don't know. I can't remember what the stats are. I saw it on Instagram earlier today, but he was fantastic.
Yeah, it really was one of those performances where you look at it and like you said, if without knowing that there had been a sickness going through the team the week before, you know, it's really hard to, you look at it and go, what happened? Because you see a lot of the same names, a lot of the same faces back there. that we saw 2 weeks ago. So to see them come out, see the adjustments that Quill made during the week, it really made a huge difference in how the team played on Saturday against Rising. And Earl, let's let me ask you here. I mean, I mentioned it a few minutes ago. We talked about a possible change at the back. You know, even without Kalen Ryden, you've got Anthony Herbert coming in. We've switched to a more traditional fullback system. What did you think of the lineup on Saturday? Is going to stay consistent? Do you think that they're, I mean, number one, in terms of formation, do you think we stick with the four back, or do you think we still see Quill kind of, you know, change it up a little bit, or do you think that maybe that three at the back was purely out of necessity?
I mean, where do I start? Holy crap. So my opinion, this was one of our best write-in list lineups that we've had. I mean, Jacob, you said it perfectly. I mean, Herbert was phenomenal out there. Last week, we saw our backline kind of get torn apart, and then we saw the change of Astorga going from the left to the right from last week to this week. So he went from left back to right back now, right where he's been playing since last season. And it played a difference. Having Seymour come off the bench, I think, was better, because yes, he does have a veteran talent, but he's not as skilled, in my opinion, he's not as skilled as Herbert or Maples. I mean, he's good, don't get me wrong, and I like that we have him, but he's definitely one of those role players that can come off the bench when we need it and fill in as needed. I'm hoping that this is a more consistent back line. Given how long God knows that Kalen will be out. Supposedly Jacob has some news on him. So
yeah, it's not rumors.
So I guess Jacob has news on that.
It's
so,
a solid I mean, source. I promise.
So compared to last week to this week, I mean, you saw us get shut out 4-0 last week. And then this week we came against the reigning USL champs and outplay them in every part of the match. I mean,
goal. Sorry.
So yeah, that's my thing.
I have Herbert's stats here from Supra Soccer on Instagram. I believe that's his agency, because they posted a bunch of players and some of their stats. But his stats were 100% aerial duels won, 78 defensive duels won, and 8 interceptions that they have on this little post here. And that all checks out. I mean, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he absolutely was. And you see him coming in and really seems he fitting right in with this group at the back. You know, seeing the height that he brings, seeing the physicality that he brings. And he definitely, you know, he definitely caused some issues for Rising on the evening. And if you go and look at our friend Owen over there, he was not happy
Owen.
At all with how Rising was playing on Saturday, which I mean, to be fair, you know, Rising were dealing with the wind conditions because nobody else was. You know, they had the wind in their face for a full 45 minutes. Heaven forbid they deal with that. So you know, it's like Earl said, we came out and we outplayed Phoenix Rising in this match. I mean, top to bottom. You look at the early moments here. We saw an early chance creation, from out on the right wing when you play the ball into the middle of the box for Rager Hurst. And this right here, I've been watching that a lot. Absolutely filthy to drag that ball back with the right foot.
That's against the golden boy for Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And Hurst had like the best game possible while missing a penalty and not scoring. I don't know if anybody's had a better game, but had those two things happen to them and at his position. I mean, it was fantastic. So, Christina, I don't know the injury details. They're pretty tight-lipped on that stuff, but I did get a timeline for him and Abu Denladi. It was, don't want to misspeak here, blah blah blah. My source said Denladi come back, hopefully he can come back soon. they're being cautious because he's tried to come back a few times since he showed up with the team because he got hurt shortly after arriving. Then he came back, got hurt again. So they're kind of taking it easy. I think with the way we're playing right now as well, obviously the 4-0 game aside, but offensively, the two matches that we've had not in the East Coast has looked really, really good. So I don't think there's a huge need or push for him to come back. Kalen will be out at least a couple more weeks is what I was told. So El Paso, he won't be there for, and then we'll see probably El Paso in the next one. And then we'll see if he'll be able to come back. I'll check again then if we haven't heard anything else.
Yeah. I appreciate the updates on that. I, you know, as you said, the club is very tight lipped when it comes to injuries, especially when it comes to specifics about those injuries. Mm-hmm. The club has always followed the Bill Belichick school of thought when it comes to talking about player injuries. And to be fair, I get it. You know, you don't want to go, you know, talking about a potential injury. Then a player comes back and you see opposing teams try to take advantage of that. So I get it, but you know, we're certainly looking for Ryden to come back. We're looking for Abu Dinladi to make his debut in the regular season. But you look at the play here, you look at how United created throughout this match on the offensive side. We saw Deion Harris and Akali playing from the outside in. We saw Marco playing through the middle. We saw balls, you know, being played across the box looking for Hurst. And the passing here in this match was night and day, again, above what we saw over probably the last 120 minutes, I would argue, from the end of the Rhode Island match through Charleston Battery. And this just turned into what we expected, what we wanted to see out of New Mexico United this season, given the level of talent that we have.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to the back line, but when they were challenged, they stepped up, but they weren't challenged a lot because our offense was in control. And when Phoenix would get possession, they would get possession in spots that didn't really threaten most of the night. And so the offense comes out. I have a game flow over on, they used to be on Twitter. Now they're just on Mastodon, but I still go to their Twitter to find their link to their Mastodon has an XG stat that they use because we don't get access to the XG stats that the club uses because reasons. I don't know why. But they had our XG at 2.56 and Phoenix is at 0.3. So just complete domination there. And that 2.36, I mean, obviously you get a penalty that's going to bump that up significantly. We didn't score on the penalty, but if you watch the highlight package that we've got playing here, it's just chance after chance after chance. Now, Josh over in the chat earlier, said, I'd love to see more than one goal a game. We have the firepower to flurry some goals, but I get with a new coach and new squad, that'll take some time. You're not wrong there with it taking some time, but I feel like the chances are what might take time to come, and they're here. The chances are there. We've seen multiple opportunities to score two goals. Even if you take the PK out of this, I mean, Brucey had a one-on-one with the keeper. We had Hurst's chance where he put Pepe in a blender coming up here in a few minutes. Deion's shot here was a good shot. I mean, just chance after chance that just didn't find the back of the net. But I do think that will come. It's just the offense as a whole just looked spectacular. I mean, if we can continue to create those chances, we're going to start getting more than one goal a game. And God, do I hope it's this week against El Paso. I hope it's like a 4-5-0 just drubbing of them because these chances start finding the back of the net.
That would be a lot of fun to see. And yeah, you watch the play and you watch how And this is the word that I used, you know, between last week and this week, is decisive. We looked very indecisive last week, and this week we looked like we knew what we wanted to do with the ball. Now, yes, we did get some fortunate bounces. Yes, we did, you know, we did take advantage of some mistakes by rising inside of their own half, which is what you have to do. But you look at the decision making and you look at what guys are doing. Oh, there it is again. Yeah, oh, exactly.
If he finishes that, that's just freaking highlight of the year for me.
Yeah, that's absolutely an incredible job there by Hirsty to even, you know, even create a chance for himself. But David, absolutely. One of the best turns I've seen in my time watching really all of football. But, you know, you watch here too, and you see it wasn't necessarily a full-on press, but we've got just enough pressure to put the force mistakes out of Rising. And one thing that really surprised me out of this from Rising is the play of Rocco Rios Novo, especially in the second half. You look how far out from goal he was coming. Like, I really wish that we had gotten an opportunity to take the ball right around, you know, right around midfield, and just give it a run, especially with the wind at our backs. But, you know, this is, you know, watching how Rising played defensively. It's the same thing we saw last year, if you ask me. They can't deal with the pace. They can't deal with pace off the wings. They can't deal. And that causes them to pull out of formation, and it gives up a lot of opportunities. Earl, watching this, when you go back, you watch the match in particular, you know, this handball is coming up. You know, talk about the play of Greg Hirst a little bit. You know, number one, is this the guy you want taking the penalty in this situation? Number two, you know, critique this take here. You know, do you think that he could have done a little bit better? Do you think this is just a lucky save by Rios Novo? You know, what did you expect out of Greg coming into this match?
So I said it last week. I mean, Greg Hirst was my player to watch last week. I expected him to come out and make an impact, and he did. He definitely came and made an impact. Even though he didn't score, he still made a huge impact with plays like that spin that the turn that he took. Made Phoenix look silly there. For the penalty, I don't know if I want Hirsty taking that penalty. He's played for Phoenix, obviously, so they all know his tendencies. Whether he's gonna wear the way he turns his hips, the way he opens his hips. That's a completely
different Phoenix team, though.
But that's the thing. I mean, a penalty is 50-50. It's the luck of the draw. I mean, do I want Hirsty taking it? Yeah, because he's the focal point goal scorer. So I don't know. It's a hard call, because I mean, a penalty is one or the other way. I mean, you either score or you don't, and if you don't, it's because the keeper guessed right. So I mean, I don't know. I'm cool with Hirsty taking the penalty. Kudos to Rocco Rios, whatever his name is, Nova Rios.
Rocco Rios Nova.
Almond Roca, whatever his name is. Kudos to him for getting the save. I mean,
it wasn't a bad take.
I'm not saying it was a bad take. I'm saying kudos to Almond Roca for stopping it.
Yeah, the height wasn't great, but the speed and he got it wide enough. It was just at a height that Rios was super comfortable with saving. And Novo has had a tremendous career so far at Phoenix as far as his shot stopping.
I think that's 4 of 15 penalties he saved.
Yeah. And he came up huge in the shootout in the USL Cup. He's played really well, and he played really well outside of that. I mean, that two shots from distance that he made good saves on, one was from Harris, and I can't remember who the other one was from. He had one on Micheletto that was a really good save. He had the PK save. He came up big when Brucey had him one-on-one. And so I don't know if I've ever seen a goalie be on Team of the Week while giving up a goal and losing. But he did. And
I was curious about that.
I almost don't have a problem with it, mainly because I don't know how the other goalies did. And there's no, I mean,
is
Tambakis
isn't Almen Roca on the one of the national teams, like Mexican national team or something like that?
I don't believe so.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I want to say he is.
So
we can double check that.
I'm going to just address some things in the chat here real quick.
Yeah.
So here a little bit ago, Justin Parrish said, but if we push for those three plus goal games, what are we going to give up? I feel like we could have had three or four easily in this match if we finish, and we didn't give up a thing. So I'm not saying necessarily like sell out just to get three goals, just to, for the sake of getting three goals. I think if we just execute and finish properly on these chances that we've had, then we could get three or four goals. So if our finishing is just a touch better, I think we're well on our way. Where was the other one? I think you already showed this one, but David Weiss Carl saying, I wonder if we're still trying to figure out who the PK taker is. That very well could be too. Because last year
Nicky was standing over it before this was taken.
I saw that. I'm wondering if we know who our PK taker is and it's not normally Hurst, but Hurst wanted that goal against Phoenix and his teammates wanted him to get it. Because there was no arguing when they switched over. It was, no, here we go. So I think either of those cases could be it.
Yeah, it definitely could be. You watch this game, such a night and day difference between this team. Earl, do you think New Mexico United did enough to finish the story against Rising on Saturday night, or do you think they left anything to chance late?
I like that reference, by the way.
You missed my one earlier, though.
I missed this one.
Sorry. I want to say I heard it. I had you on my headphones. I was on the other side of the house trying to find headphones. And these are the only stupid ones I found. No, I think United played from opening whistle to closing whistle. They definitely wanted to be on the pitch. They definitely wanted to play. They were not going to be outclassed again like they were last week. I mean, yeah. So I'm also trying to see if Almen Roca is on a national team.
So what have your guys' thoughts been? So we're four games in now.
Unless, of course, you're Tulsa. You've only played two.
Yeah. So we're four games in now. We've seen a few different varieties of the lineup. Who is your starting front four? If we're saying we're doing a 4-1-4-1, who are those five up front that we're looking at? Because obviously the back four we kind of talked about already. And if Bailey or Hosu is right in front of the front four, who's the midfield? Who are the two wingers? And is it, I mean, obviously it's Hurst up top, right? We can all kind of agree there right now, mainly just because we don't really have another option. And he's been fantastic, obviously. We just praised him for a while there. So, you know, we've seen Harris out there. We've seen Akale. We've seen Reyes. We've seen Nicky. We've seen, obviously, Micheletto has kind of been another stalwart out there. Who are we looking at on those wing positions specifically that have stuck out and you would like to see more?
I think it's Harris and Akale.
Do you agree, Seth?
Akale when he...
Oh, okay, sorry.
He's not sluggish. Sorry, I was making sure I wasn't mute. I wasn't trying to, like, tap the mic.
I don't think he's been sluggish, but...
I felt like he was sluggish...
Oh, maybe the last match when
was
he was
last
sick?
Last week?
Like everywhere? Maybe. Everybody was sick?
Yeah.
It might have been last week that I felt like he was a step slower than normal. But those are my two on the wings is Akali and Harris.
How you doing, Harry? Glad to see you.
Harry, love you.
No, after what I've seen so far, I agree. I think Akali and Harris is the way to go. You saw them both be dynamic off the wings. You saw them, you know, make runs into the area. You saw both Akale and Harris put themselves in dangerous positions. You put them in, they put themselves in spots to receive the ball well, to look for openings. And you saw them playing with heads up. And that's something that we definitely didn't see last week. That's something we didn't see, you know, towards the end of Rhode Island. But, you know, I think these two guys are going to be something special. I think that they have a lot of ability to create. And I really like what I saw. I really do. I don't think there's a question on those two at the wingers. I mean, I'd like to see Dunlady, see what he can do once he gets back and healthy. But I think this is it right here. I think it's these two on the wings. And then for me, through the middle, I think I have to go with Marco and Nicky, because Sergio hasn't been it in the time, that he's had on the pitch so far.
Yeah, I think the only option there, other option there, is Reyes.
I like what Jacobo did in week one and two.
Right.
But we didn't really see him last week. He didn't really do, I don't even know if he played last week.
He came on as a sub. No, he went off, I think.
I think last week you throw out, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think everybody's performance last week you throw out. So if you just look at the other three matches, the only other name I'll throw out there for you guys is Harry Swartz. I mean, he started in week one. And that first half of week one is still the best stretch of football we've seen from United probably ever. And he was a major role in that. And then he came on in the second half this week and looked really good. And so I loved what Harris did. I loved what Akali does. Basically, it's a good problem to have, right? Like, to have too many names to throw out there. And then I think I'd probably go Nicky and Marco there in the middle as well. Reyes, like I mentioned, is the other name that I might throw out there, but I'd like to see other people get a chance though, especially early right now. Like Avion Flanagan, we saw start last week or the week before, and hasn't really had a chance to really get in a groove yet. So I wouldn't mind seeing him get a few more chances. You might see him like back in Astorga's place, but Astorga has been playing phenomenal lately. And so there's no way he's coming out. Same with Gloucester on the other side. He's been playing really well. I mean, we're definitely deep. Obviously you take that 4-0 loss out of there and throw it away. And if you do that, then through three matches, we've got 7 points and have looked like the better team handily in two of those. And the other one, we had a lead late in stoppage time, second half stoppage time. So overall, you can't be upset with how the start of this season has gone. Starting here at home with a win, then going 4 points through three matches on the road. So I'm thrilled. Jane brings up a good point too. Hosu is somebody that I was really, really high on. I know the team was really, really high on. I would like to see him get a chance there, maybe for Bailey, give Bailey a spell, a little break there at that pivot point right in front of the back line. But again, name after name after name of, I'd like to see this person get more time. I'd like to see this person get more time. But then when we're playing like we did against Phoenix, why are you going to change it? What are you going to do? So
yeah, well, it's definitely a good problem to have, and definitely one of those pain in the skull moments where you don't know how to even prepare for United, because God knows what's going to be thrown at you. I mean, one day you have Nicky in the middle, the next day you have Jacobo Reyes in the middle. One day you have Herbert, the next day you have Caitlin. I mean, you just don't know how to prepare, and it's a beautiful problem to have.
Yeah, you look at the way we played over the past 2 weeks, obviously going from a match like Charleston Battery where, you know, things did not work well, to a match where you're playing against Phoenix Rising and what essentially amounted to a tables, ladders, and chairs match, because you've got so many different things going on the pitch. And how Boye was still on the pitch at the end of that one, I have no idea. So there's a lot of things to look at and take away. And I do have one question before we get off the, before we get to our final thoughts about Rising. With how Herbert is playing, when Kalen comes back, Kalen lost his spot?
Seth. God.
Really? I'm just asking. So, because it's going to be a conversation.
I'm going to answer your question. That's a good problem right there. I'm going to answer your problem with your question. Kalen loses his spot just like Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins wins night one.
For you non-wrestling fans, I think that means he's not going to lose a spot, but I don't speak wrestling, so.
No, see the thing is, though, you look at that, though, with those types of stipulations, I think Cody and Rollins lose night one, but they overcome everything on night two, which is what's going to happen here. You know, Herbert's going to, you know, he's going to stay in there. He's going to play well. He's going to keep that spot, and we may not see Kalen as outside of a supporting role.
Oh, my gosh. Do you believe the words that are coming out of your mouth? Is this just to, are you trolling me? You're trolling me, right? You have to be. Look,
I'm supposed to be the one with the terrible ideas and the terrible thoughts.
I don't think this is a terrible thought from Seth. I think it's just a grade A troll job is what I think is happening here.
Yeah. Just wait till I put the thumbnail up on this video, you know?
Oh, you, yeah.
Yeah, got to get the clicks, like David said.
Or you need to clip that, like you did the conversation that we had with Matt from Raisin Anchor.
I got you.
And put that out there, because April Fool's was yesterday. Good job.
I got you. I'll do that tomorrow.
I understand, like, if you're trying to make a real point, like, I can kind of see it.
Yeah.
But Raiden has meant too much to this club. He's the captain. And I'm a firm believer in an injury shouldn't cost you your starting job, unless it's like Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady, where it's just obvious.
So I was actually making a point here with this, you know, does Herbert keep the spot, you know, if he continues to play at a high level when Kalen is back and healthy again? But to that point there about someone meaning so much to the club, I mean, just because someone means a lot to the club, does that mean that they should be given the spot over someone who's performing at a high level? If that could possibly be a detriment, because you look at we've talked about this. Look at how we've held on to players because they meant a lot to the club.
Okay? I think
brought Kevon back, who
right.
You know, who did not perform well in the second time around. We've hung on to some other guys who at the latter parts of their time with us did not perform well, but they were fan favorites.
But Raiden hasn't, according to me, obviously I know you can't stand him, Seth, and you think he's slow and terrible now, but he hasn't lost that, like the other people that you're talking about, they weren't performing to that level.
Right.
He's still performing at a high level. Herbert, if Herbert's playing at a higher level, I don't like Herbert would have to be playing at such a high level, like out of his mind high level, like MLS quality starter level, to make that switch happen, would be my guess.
Yeah. I just think it'd be an interesting, it may be an interesting conversation to have here in a few weeks once Kalen is back and once he's healthy and back in the swing of things. You know, do you look at putting him back in simply because he is the captain, simply because he is the veteran player, yeah, if Herbert is playing at a high level? So I think it's something to keep in the back of our minds as we're watching this going forward. And to David's point here, currently watching Lubbock versus 4OFC. Please, can we not play Phoenix again this year?
Please? Well, we won't. Well, we might, but it won't be in this first round.
Yeah, no, it won't be in this first round. But yeah, can we please not get El Paso or Colorado or Phoenix, yeah, again? Like,
honestly, I've got the Lubbock match on my phone right now too. I've had it on, yeah, since it started, and I love what's going on in Lubbock. I'm also, yeah, a stone's throw from Lubbock, so I would love to play Lubbock. And if we're playing here or there, I will be there for sure.
Yeah, I've had the streams going on the other screen as well. So
David's other point here, though, about the center back depth that we have, I think a lot of people might have taken that as like, or because Talon and Herbert were announced so late and they were just trialists, I think a lot of people might have thought that was like a Kyle Colonna type signing from last year, where it's like
a fill-in.
Yeah, just kind of like a break in case of emergency type of thing. But the difference is that both of these guys came from the pro ranks. Like, they weren't fresh out of college, and they have that experience under their belt. And man, have they shown it. I mean, to have Talon start every match back there from the get-go, and then have Anthony come in and just dominate like he did on Saturday, and then to have Ryden and Seymour as two guys that could pop back there, you know, Seymour in the case of a pinch or something like that, and then Ryden when he comes back, obviously I believe is going to be the starter still. I mean, that is tremendous testament to our scouting, and so I'm thrilled with that. It was a weak spot last year for sure, and to have it look like a strength through the first four matches is huge.
Certainly is. As we close out our discussion on Phoenix Rising, all right, I want you guys both give me one positive and one negative from this match on Saturday before we talk to you about El Paso.
Earl, would you like to go first so I don't steal yours?
I don't care. Go ahead.
Do you have one? Okay.
I have notes. Well,
okay, go ahead with your notes. Go ahead with your notes.
So I'll start with my positive. My positive is seeing Akali be able to make plays that we hadn't seen since week one. I mean, he's been kind of off the past couple weeks, and then him come back, and I think he megged two players on one play for the goal for Harris. Seeing those kind of plays kind of sparked passion again for fans who are like, oh, you know, it's going to be another one of those years where up and down, but then you see Akali come out and do stupid shit like that, where it's like, okay, you got me there. Yeah, I see you. And having Harris score, obviously, that gives us another scoring option. I mean, we have so many attacking players that can score that I've said to the wall, you don't know where the goals are going to come from. They can come from the left, the right. I mean, penalties, if we could convert those. My negative, I'm just going to take care of it right away. My negative has been said about 18 different times tonight. Not having more than one goal. That's the biggest negative. But, I mean, that's a testament to what Phoenix has going on that came out like vomit for me. And what they have in Almond Roku over there. I mean, him scoring, him saving goals and saving penalties, it just, that's where it's at. I mean, we had 14 shots, 9 on target, and 3 big chances, and only one goal. That's probably the biggest negative that we can walk away with.
Yeah,
but I mean, we have really, a win, so it's not really a negative.
I really think it's the only negative that you could come up with. I mean,
yeah.
What else? You gave up one shot on goal. You created chance after chance after chance.
I think they only had 4 chances.
Yeah, I mean, it did. Literally, that's the only negative that I could even think of. That's the only thing I had on my list was finishing. And then positives, I mean, you could go a million different ways. Because we've talked about the offense and how good it was already, we touched on it at the beginning of the podcast about the defense. I'll say the back line and their ability and Bailey. Bailey was huge in this match defensively. He's not a guy that's going to come in and do a lot offensively with the role that he's in this year, but he was a lot of the reason why Phoenix couldn't get anything going, because typically if the back line is getting attacked and the last line of defense, they can get pulled apart pretty easy. But Bailey was all over east-west on that pitch and putting out fires before they even started. And that was huge, huge indeed.
Yeah. For me, it's I have to go with the chance creation. I mean, you look at what we ended up with, 8 shots on target, which is, you know, pretty significant considering where we were at, you know, the week before. And
9, according to FotMob.
Oh, okay. Well, 9. Okay. 9 shots on target, you know, but no, with that is going to is going to lead more goals. You're going to see more opportunities. You're seeing guys be more creative. You're seeing balls come in from different areas, and it's turning into really quality chance creation. So really looking forward to seeing what happens with that. For me, the only negative I have from this, it's going to be about as bad as Omos selling himself as a big man who can share the spotlight at WrestleMania.
Could you guys
stop? USL Championship. Stop. Come on. Come on, guys. Like, this is, what are we doing here? This, if you missed the broadcast on Saturday, this is what popped up on at halftime of the match. And the broadcasters didn't catch it.
To be fair, I didn't catch it when you sent it to me. I was like, yeah, it looks good. Cause I didn't look at the logos. I just read the names and I was like, yeah, that's who they're playing. And that's the score. Cool. What am I looking at?
And then, to be fair, I was driving from Mountain Air, so I got your text and I read it when I got home at midnight. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So,
that's a fair negative.
I mean, yeah, David, who do we report this to? I mean, do we just tag the clubs? Do we tag USL at headquarters? Like, who does this? Like, can we?
they get that wrong half the time. They completely botched the formations at the beginning of the matches all the time.
Like, they literally dropped a broadcast.
Yeah, so I did tag USL typos on that, but yeah.
Why are we expecting anything different? That's all I know. That's all I'm asking. Like, that's what should be expected.
Yeah, I saw this and I knew some folks would get a kick out of it. I'm like, yeah, that's in the. Melanie actually caught it before I did because I was, you know, busy writing. And yeah, that's come on, guys, let's do better. But speaking of doing better, New Mexico United is certainly doing better than El Paso. Our little brothers down south of here, El Paso, have picked up a grand total of 1 point through four matches, and they have a grand total of 8 shots on target for the entire season so far. So looking at this match, they've got 1 goal in 4. They've been shut out 3 times.
And that goal was a fluky goal.
Yeah. It was not a great goal for them. But when we look ahead to this, obviously it's the first time we'll see Amando Moreno in a visiting jersey, or in a away jersey, I should say. Not necessarily a visiting jersey since we're, it is a visiting jersey. I apologize. What are the thoughts on El Paso going back? What kind of reception does Amando get? What are we expecting out of an El Paso side that just has not done anything of note at all through format?
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Seth not sleeping. He just rambled off about 15 different questions and expects us to answer each one of them.
I'm just throwing stuff out there. You guys pick it up and run with it. Like, I'm not going to answer every single one of them because, you know, unlike you, Earl, I don't have my notes on my wrist.
My life. So this El Paso match is going to be interesting. It's obviously El Paso, so it's going to be very chippy and probably ugly. But it also could be a trap match. I mean, we can definitely just lay down and let El Paso do their thing. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that it's not an NWO style pin towards Kevin Nash tapping Hulk Hogan on the chest and taking the pin. I hope we don't overlook it. Really, El Paso's season couldn't have gotten off in a worse spot. I mean, like you said, they have 1 goal in 4 matches. I mean, something's got to give for them, and I'm hoping it's not us. So I'm going to top all your 19 questions and ask a better question for you.
Okay.
How many miles does Yuma roll on the ground?
Yuma hasn't been playing because he's terrible. So I don't expect him to play. If he does play, I put the over-under at 1.5 miles.
1.5 miles.
And, I would take the over. I would take the over for sure. Lubbock just won. So
there we go.
Fingers crossed we get Lubbock. I'd love that.
How far of a drive is that for you?
Lubbock? It's the same as Albuquerque, about 2.5 hours. So
that's not bad at all.
I will be at that match unless it's a Tuesday night. Actually, I don't know. When's the I'll have to look. I will be at that match more often or more likely than not. Yeah, so the El Paso match. The only thing that worries me is that for the third consecutive time playing El Paso, they will have had a bye week before we play them. And that annoys the shit out of me. But I don't think their issues are something that's fixed in a 2-week break. They just haven't looked good. I absolutely love looking at the table and seeing Colorado, El Paso, and Phoenix as the bottom three in the Western Conference. That just it warms my heart so much. Josh over in the comments. Wrong one. Sorry, Christina, I'll get back to you. With Mondo coming back, it's really tough. I've not often been the biggest fan of Mondo anyways. So it's a little easier for me to have ill feelings with him going to El Paso. I don't know how you can stay here for 4 years and then just the rivalries either mean very little to the players compared to what we think they mean, or he just doesn't like us anymore. And so I'm actually okay if he gets booed. Normally, like with Santi, I didn't want that, but I'm okay with it. I just did. He was the kit release video that they did. He was the player that they used for it, and him okaying that, just I didn't like that. So we'll see. He also scored against us in preseason. I don't like that.
I actually hope to everything, to any god that anyone prays to, that he gets booed out of the stadium. So if you're listening to this, either now live or whenever this thing comes out, which will probably be tomorrow morning, I think, or Thursday afternoon, I don't know. Either way, whenever this thing comes out, if you're listening to this, take note that when Amando gets the ball, boo the living shit out of him.
To be fair, that's how most clubs treat returning players, or if you're Yuma or some other guys that have come in here. But I think Amando will get. I would not be surprised if there aren't quite as many boos as we're expecting. He was a fan favorite for the duration that he was here. He was a guy that meant a lot to a lot of people, and he put in a ton of effort whenever he was here. I wouldn't say that he doesn't like the club or anymore, but I do think that, as a professional, you're going to go where the money is, rivalry or not. If El Paso is willing to pay more, I'm sure that's why he decided to go there. I mean,
I don't think that is the majority driver of most decisions when it comes to professional athletes. I just don't think that's the case. Obviously, it's the case sometimes, but unless it was just like bukus and bukus more, other things should matter. Like living in El Paso, like that should be a negative there. But
being acquainted as the same city as the man child that saw dead puppies in the road, I don't want to go there.
Justin brings up something that I thought was funny. It reminds me of in high school sports, a lot of the times, back in the day anyways, when they would announce the opposing team starting players, you would have a newspaper and you would act like you're reading the newspaper and couldn't care less. And so I'm good for that.
David, to your question, DCO get booed mercilessly. But I will say this, soccer fans here are not the same as Premier League fans. They're just not. And Everton, Liverpool, that is a deep seated hatred over there. And he would never be forgiven if he went over to Liverpool. And I just don't think that fans here see it the same way. Like, yes, there are going to be people that are going to be upset about it, but I don't think they're going to see the same.
I don't believe El Paso paid a transfer for him. I believe he was out of contract.
We're the same, just 100 years younger. Exactly. I mean, thank you, again, some of us are. Like, you know, David, people, yourself, me, Jacob to an extent. Earl has still learned to become a soccer fan.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, you're a Hotspur fan, so... I mean, do you really have a rival that you would hate for, like, you know, Son to go to or Harry Kane to go to?
Yeah, I would throw up in David's mouth if he went to Arsenal.
I just, yes, there are some folks, like, for us and for the folks in the chat, and for it's going to stink to see Amando in that whatever color El Paso claims their jersey is. it's gonna stink. It's gonna hurt. And yes, if I was not in a professional capacity covering him, I would be booing Amando Moreno until I couldn't boo anymore.
Well, don't tell David, but I might boo Amando.
So here's the cool thing is I actually bought a ticket so I can boo the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Is the family going?
I'm taking the family with me and I have seats right next to the tunnel. And I will be booing the living shit out of him.
Right next to their tunnel? Assuming mm-hmm. they're not in a tent?
Assuming they're not in a tent. I'm assuming that they're back in the locker room.
Ice Topes have already started, so everything's finished.
So, other than Amanda, who we are more than likely expecting to see on Saturday night, is there anyone else that you're expecting El Paso to throw out there? Jacob, you mentioned Yuma has not been getting a lot of minutes. Actually, I went double. He has not gotten a single minute yet this season. Do we even see Yuma on Saturday? You know, El Paso is, again, we talked about, you know, a lot of these teams have had a lot of turnover in the offseason. You know, who makes the 18? Any
before
ideas?
You,
who stands out?
Before you answer that, I do need to answer one of the questions in the chat that no, Amando was a free transfer to El Paso.
There you go. I mean, I would expect, you know, like Eder Borelli to potentially make a showing. Nicholas Hines as well. He's a guy who's been a stalwart across the USL for the past several seasons. But I just don't know. I don't know who El Paso throws out with the way that their results have fallen this year. I don't know that it matters. But
yeah, I think they've tried to play multiple different lineups. Mm-hmm. And nothing has worked. If Amando doesn't play, I'll be a little upset. I know he was with the El Salvador team during their last match, but he'll be back for that. So I expect him to play. I don't know if Moshe Bani or Justin Dillon will start in another forward position or not, but either of those players by name recognition, if you followed the USL, especially the Western Conference at all the last 5 years, then you're going to at least know Dillon's name, but they haven't performed very well this year. If Borelli plays, he is the one that we should boo every time he touches the ball. Can't stand that prick. And then Eric Calvillo is another one that has played well against us that I don't hate, but, he also isn't my favorite person in the world. So it's weird.
I'm starting to think that any El Paso player that ever plays for El Paso is on your like shit list. Because I remember a couple years ago, you said that Richie Ryan was definitely one of your.
Oh, 100%. He's just gone now. So it doesn't matter. But he drives me nuts. A lot of players. El Paso is just annoying. They just play an annoying style. No matter who their coach is, they play an annoying style. It's just, I'm just done with them.
Can't say we blame you one bit, but, you know. It's certainly going to be interesting to see who they throw out. You know, does it even matter at this point? Because like you said, they've not been playing well. they really and truly haven't. You know, Justin Dillon has not put together the type of early season that El Paso fans would want to see out of him, given the success that he had in San Antonio. Zacharias is back. Zacharias, I think.
Yeah, Zacharias.
Zacharias, he's back. You know, again, he's done okay. I mean, you could arguably say Amando's been their best player early, but I just don't know. I don't, if I'm an El Paso fan, if I'm seriously loco, if I'm, you know, eighth notch, I can't imagine they're happy with what they're seeing right now. Because I watch as an outsider.
Has anyone checked on Jerry yet?
Oh, Jerry doesn't exist. I'm convinced.
Carlos, how you doing? But yeah, I just don't know what to expect out of El Paso on Saturday. I do know that coming to the lab has not always worked out in their favor. And as we're getting, you know, better, as we're improving, as we're finding our rhythm and what we want to do, I think El Paso could be in for a bad night on Saturday. I mean, am I wrong in this, or am I seeing, are you seeing anything differently? I mean,
is that like your subtle segue to score predictions?
Sure. Let's do it.
Cool. So as I showed you guys last week, I did some math and I did some work.
Oh yeah, the math that said we were going to lose against Phoenix? Yeah, Dad. Show that math again.
Actually, I call it 0-0, so I don't hear it.
You were still wrong.
I think what were all our predictions? I called
0-0. Anyone? I didn't write them down.
Okay. We need to be better about writing down our score predictions.
I was trying to do it to where I had our predictions every week, and amen. Maybe I'll do that starting this week. Maybe that's what I'll do. I do. So anyways, the math this week, let's talk about it. There's a 37% chance of a New Mexico United win. There's a 13% chance of an El Paso win. Go figure. There's also a 49% chance of a draw. There's a 33% chance United scores one goal. A 78% chance El Paso scores zero. So I'm calling a 1-0 win based off the math.
Okay. So Earl is relying on a calculator and some numbers here. instead of actually, you know, but it is fair. You know, obviously people use predictive models. You know, John Morrissey does plenty of predictive models over on his place. Yeah, show the math, Earl. Yeah, show your work on this. So.
Let me see if I can. See, I'm on my iPad today, so let me see what I can do here.
All good, Earl. But yeah, while you're pulling it up, yeah, I've gone back, I've watched, you know, a little bit of each of the El Paso matches, and while they've had moments where they look like they are stringing together a cohesive attack, they just have not been able to put together a 90 minutes worth of play that is sustainable. They have not been able to create anywhere near enough chances and at least make the ones that they have make them threatening. I mean, you've got 16 shots on target through four matches and only one goal. That's not promising early in the season. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there you go. That was something we missed earlier in our pauses from that match. 200 plus fans who traveled up to Phoenix. Yeah, that was phenomenal. That was absolutely incredible to see. I heard we completely filled section 207 out there at Phoenix Rising Stadium. So that is really incredible. Hopefully we can get some more trips like that throughout the season. Maybe up to Colorado, or, you know, maybe Tulsa or something. Who knows? Maybe even down to El Paso, get some more buses down there. But yeah, that was really cool to see all the black and yellow on TV on Saturday. But back to Saturday night with El Paso, I don't like what I see. Oh, that'd be cool, David. Appreciate that. I don't like what I see out of El Paso. I don't think they're playing with confidence right now. I don't think that they're. I don't think that they're, you know, making the right reads through the midfield. I think they're incredibly beatable. And so with that being said, I'm going to say 2-0 United on Saturday at home at United in Our Abilities night. Is that correct, Jacob?
Yes. Yeah. Christina just said it in the chat too. It's going to be good. They're going to have a section in the berm with some headphones and let me get to my notes there. You kind of dropped that on me. Noise canceling headphones, sensory tools, having it be a dedicated space for all. So, and then like Christina says, they have some really, really cool shirts that you'll be able to get. I'm looking forward to it. My son has some sensory issues at times, and so stuff like that is huge for sure. Real quick, going back to last week, as much as I hate to say this, one of us did get it right on the dot, and it wasn't me. And obviously Earl said 0-0. So Seth said 1-0 us. I said 2-1 us, and Earl said 0-0. So yeah. As far as this week,
Seth is AI though, so
that's true. That's why he's winning in our bracket challenge too.
It's rigged.
There we go. Picture from David Lucy Carl from Saturday night out in Phoenix at the sellout crowd by the Phoenix Rising. Yeah.
Quote unquote.
That's great to see. That is phenomenal.
So yeah, going into this match, it feels like these El Paso matches make me nervous to like come out and say we're going to kick the shit out of them, just because these rivalry matches kind of are all over the place all the time. But Christina just stole my prediction there. I say 2-0 us, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's worse. If they play like they played against Monterey Bay, their draw, I think it's 2-0. If they play how they played against Vegas, I think it's worse. They're in trouble right now. But that being said, these rivalry matches can bring out the best in you, especially if you're desperate like they probably are right now. So I'm a little nervous about that. But if you just look at how we've played and how they've played, it should be no contest. And so I'll go 2-0 and feel pretty good about that.
All right, there we go. You got your scoreline predictions from the three of us. If you've got some of you already got your scoreline predictions over in the chat as well. So
Seth, what was your score prediction?
2-0.
Oh, you said 2-0?
Yeah.
Ah, fuck it. I'll say 3-0.
Okay, there you go. Jacob 3-0. Myself 2-0. Earl says New Mexico is going to lose. 1-0. Okay. Trying. Okay. No, Carlos, we have not talked Open Cup yet this evening. Open Cup, second round is currently going on. Lubbock beat 4-0 FC early by final of 2-0. And then David Lisa Carlos on us said there's a chance we may be playing Lubbock in the next round. So keep an eye out later this week for the third round pairings to be announced. Second round of Open Cup continues tomorrow night. You can watch matches a couple of different places, but you got to have the links. You got to go over to US Open Cup or USsoccer.com. You have to go to a couple of different places. They did not make these early round matches easy to find, which is really annoying.
It's not that bad. You go to the USL website. They have a tab that says Open Cup. You click on the match you want. It's not the easiest thing to find, but it's also not like impossible. It's easy. It's harder than when it was on ESPN Plus, obviously, but it's still doable for us sickos that want to watch it. So we've got there's just a handful of matches tonight. Richmond advances, NYAFC, NYCFC 2 advances, Charlotte advanced on PKs, Lubbock 1, Michigan's up 2-0. Michigan Stars are up 2-0 on a two side, an MLS 2 side, which is hilarious. In extra time. And then Central Valley Fuego FC is beating the Burrito Men in the 33rd minute by a goal. So a ton of cool storylines and good matches. I can't wait next week or tomorrow when we see Vermont Green play. We've got a bunch of USL League One teams playing, including Omaha and Northern Colorado and Spokane.
Tormenta FC plays tomorrow.
Yeah, Tormenta plays tomorrow. One Knoxville and Greenville Triumph play tomorrow. Just a ton of them. It's going to be. I love a lot of this stuff. And honestly, like we've knocked and talked about, you know, MLS kind of backing out and stuff like that. The way they've done it this year, the structure of the tournament itself, I'm actually really enjoying, and the matchups that we're getting out of it and not having the pods and this and the other, at least like shoved down our throat. They're just kind of like, hey, here's the matchups. I'm okay with that. And we're getting some cool matchups. And so I'm liking it. Ooh.
Yeah, South have been a lot of fun to see so far this year. There's going to be a lot of great matchups in the second, still to come in the second round and to come up in the third round as well. So a lot of fun things to see. Ooh. David Leake.
Yeah. Josh said, hey, David, another open gut match at Rio Rancho High School would be amazing. And David says, stay tuned, Josh. So maybe that means we're hosting this first round, Matt, or the first match that we're involved in. And so who knows? That's exciting. I can't wait. It's I was one of the fans like David's former co-host, RJ, that was questioning the Open Cup until we had that deep run. And so it's fun. I'm loving it. I'm loving it this year. I think all the controversy brought more eyes to it, believe it or not. Like I think that's doing something to actually have. Oh, okay. Well, I'm still staying tuned, David. It's he exciting.
Correct himself.
Yeah.
The PR guy over there was like, oh shit.
I love watching David when Pete has a mic anywhere. If you just watch David when that happens, it's great fun. Good night, Carlos.
See you, Carlos. Thanks for hanging. All right. Yeah, to your point. Yeah, anytime Pete's in front of a microphone, yeah, David gets a little nervous. So
agreed.
So I think we have hit all of our topics for this evening and then some. Unless you guys have any closing thoughts.
I don't. Other than PHUC Phoenix and El Paso for that matter. Yeah, FEP. There we go. So it's having our rivalries back to back, if we can continue to play good, is going to work out pretty nicely. And again, I love seeing the Western Conference with us, you know, in a home playoff spot, and El Paso, Colorado, and Phoenix at the bottom as the bottom three. So David said it best, beat El Paso. Seth, Earl, you got anything else?
No, I was told to keep my wrestling comments to a bare minimum. So I think I've utilized all my timings. So I think I'm good.
Is WrestleMania over yet, or is it next?
It's this coming weekend.
It's this coming weekend.
Okay, Saturday's we will set day. Aside a few minutes next week for you to talk about it, Earl.
No, it's good. It's good. Don't worry about it. I'll probably be crying because Seth Rollins will lose. So it's good.
Okay. In that case, I'll get us out of here. We'll be back next Tuesday, hopefully talking about three more points against El Paso. We will have our opponent for the U.S. Open Cup and be able to talk about that briefly. We will have maybe some more news on some injuries, see what's going on there. We'll have plenty to talk about for sure. I want to thank everybody over in the chat. David, we see Carl. Carlos, Josh is always over there. Jane's always over there. Christina's always over there. Harry popped in just long enough to say Team Jacob, and then I didn't see him again, I don't think. But everybody involved, the people that watch live, the people that follow, if you or listen on the podcast apps, if you do listen on the podcast app, don't forget to rate and review, and let us know. Let us know what you guys are listening on. Let us know how the quality of it is on the podcast form. We want to hear this stuff. We want to do better this year and continue to get better after last year was kind of chaotic with me leaving for a while and stuff like that. But we love all y'all. We'll see you guys back here next Tuesday. And until then, somos unidos. Never want to dance again.